Welcome to Bedknobs and Broomflicks, the podcast that talks about witches, man-witches, warlocks, sorcerers, and other magic practitioners. It's been a while, I guess. Other magic
How do humans talk?
In movies, television, comic books, books, and just about everything. I guess I need to get back to doing my exercises, my mouth exercises, my vocal exercises before I start. I used to start off with like before recording, I used to do I like it all, every bit upon Idris Elba's face I sit.
I would just stick with red leather, yellow leather, but I mean, you do you.
I mean, yeah.
You're definitely doing you in that case.
I guess you could do that if you want to go with the typical stuff. But.
Is this why there was a restraining order sent to you?
How'd you know about that? Who told you about that? Anyway, sorry, the show will include spoilers. You've been warned, but this has been out since, 2000?
Yeah, 2000, because we already had a conversation about the Twin Towers opening. And it was like,
woof.
Yep.
And my name is Linda, but this week I'm a golden cheese.
My name is Jane, and I am heavily pregnant. That is no lie. There's a lot of cramping going on. So if you hear some complaining, that's me.
I know that Prince the dog in his dog form was turned gold last episode, but because Tony fingered a fish, but I'm still a golden cheese.
You can be a golden cheese all you want. I mean, it's fine. I mean, it's either that or you're a queen cheese, but.
Yeah, true. Oh, God.
This episode includes the part that I've been alluding to from the very beginning of one of the cringiest moments. And there's lots of cringe in these episodes, but this to me was like one of the cringiest moments in this entire series. I had a friend who watched this and they just fast forwarded through this part because they're like, nope, not the whole episode, just that one part that we'll get to.
As it turns out, I blocked it out. at first I thought did I really not watch the whole series? Because I don't remember this. And then, I saw other parts where I was like, oh, right, yeah, the court with the lambs, yeah, okay, or the sheep, yeah, okay, got it. And I was like, no, I remember that. So, no, I actively just blocked this fucking part out.
Linda, we've gone through years of therapy for this. It's going to be fine.
Oh, man. And I must have blocked out the whole thing with the peeps, too. Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, we should probably just start talking about the episode so we can get to this part. Because
sorry, we are talking about the Tenth Kingdom.
Yep, the third episode. Yes, and and for a quick recap, we left with Virginia being taken by the huntsman into his secret Berenstain Bear-like tree, and
Berenstain Bear.
Berenstain Bears, Berenstain, I don't. You know what? Potato, potato at this point is what I grew up with. I don't care.
I know.
And the two creators are dead and their son's a lunatic. So what does it matter?
Really?
Oh, have you not seen? Oh, God. Okay, side note. I grew up knowing a lot of people who had problems with the Berenstain Bears just because they were very much like preachy moral stories, but not in the preachy sense. Just respect manners, blah, blah, blah. Honestly, I read the old ones to my kid. I'm just like, for the most part, these are okay. And it's just nice to have and everything. Their son became a huge born-again Christian And books have drifted into that.
Oh, no.
Like, hardcore, born-again Christian. Like, yeah. I think I remember reading somebody's review of his book on dinosaurs, and it's not quite, you know, God put them there as a test, but it's not great.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's... Yeah, that's so. Yes, that's why I'm like, you know what? The original creators are passed on, and their son's a lunatic, so it's okay. And that's so my diatribe. Okay. And that's my diatribe on what became of the Berenstain Bears. So let's get on with the episode. So yes, Virginia kidnapped Tony and Wolf beside themselves, and all that stuff. And the opening to this episode is with Prince Wendell's court, like dealing with the fact that like the Troll King is, you know, tearing apart villages, killing people, like being absolutely horrible. And I feel so bad for this guy, like the guy from like the first episode who was just sort of like why isn't Wendell responding? Why isn't any of this happening? And blah blah. I actually wrote down like this guy's like the General Billy Mitchell of this court, who was like the guy who originally started saying like, you're like, hey, Japan could possibly bomb Pearl Harbor. And like, and this was like, I think a decade or more before Japan did. But he's like, yeah, no, there's talk about doing this and stuff. And we should probably focus on air power and not this weird naval base thing that we got going on. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just like, man, this guy is like a, like, just like that, you know, canary in the coal mine. Where, well, that one guy's like freak the, you know, royal court decorators freaking out about, you know, pastels. So yeah, it's just, I feel so bad for this guy because he actually then leaves and to go to the hunting cabin because they're reading a letter from the queen, because, you know, yeah, but thinks the prince and saying like, oh, I twisted my ankle and I'm recuperating at the hunting lodge. I'm like, yeah, yeah, only one of you kind of is like, maybe I should go talk to him and make sure it's actually him. And yeah, he ends up getting killed by the huntsman. So it's like, God, this poor guy. I feel bad for him. So, yeah, that's what's happening in Wendell's kingdom. And then we switch back to Tony and Wolf trying to both find Virginia, and the little birds that Virginia freed are now like trying to help, and they, you know, they're going to get like an axe that's supposed to like chop hair and everything. And
yeah, the axe can, there's a woodsman who has an axe in the woods that can chop anything.
Yes. And they end up finding him, and you know, they're just like, hey, like, what we, like, Tony's like, hey, what do you want for your axe? He's, and the woodsman just, I can't remember his exact line, but he just says, you know, like, if you can guess my name, like, you know, I'll give it to you, but your friend has to, like, put his head here on the block. And yeah. I will just, and Tony just, like, it's the perfect break of the fourth wall. He's like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? Yes, like, why not just say it'll be 10 gold coins? It's always
gotta be something with you people.
I was like, I'm like, I'm kind of proud of him at this point.
Yes.
And then like, I was like, well, and I even said, like, why don't they just ask, like, if they can borrow it, you know? It's like, look, we have a minor problem, you know, you like chopping things. When we find my daughter, she has like this massive hair, could you chop her hair and call it good?
You don't have to take it. Turns out this guy's kind of a sadist psychopath. So.
Oh yeah, no, he's a psychopath, all right. They even call him out on that, going like, you've done this before. He's like, many times. And I'm like, mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah, because Tony is basically like, oh, I know this is, you know, think it's the Rumpelstiltskin story and stuff. It's like, yeah. I can totally guess his name. And Wolf puts his head on a chopping block. He gets locked up in a little kind of makeshift cage and, or a little, I don't know what it is, like it's a wood kind of block. Like, what do I think? Stockyard. What do you call those?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And the woodsman's also blind, but he has excellent hearing because they found out that his name is sewn into his hat. And as Tony's still guessing, he's like, yeah, no, you move. I can hear you and I'll just chop your friend's head off. So it's, yeah, I'm just.
Yeah. And poor Wolf is just like, ugh. And he keeps Tony keeps guessing, like, Rumpelstiltskin, or are you Rumpelstiltskin's brother? Is there a Rumpelstiltskin in it?
Is there a Rumpel?
That's right. And he's like, it's not Rumpelstiltskin.
Well, then he just comes out, it's like, and then he goes like, John, Paul, Ringo.
Yeah, he's like, Ringo.
Yeah, it's just so sad because he's going to like keep guessing until the woodsman chops all this wood that he has, and it's just, yeah. And during that time, the huntsman is trying to interrogate Virginia, and she's just an awful liar. Like, even if he wasn't like supposed to be very keen, the huntsman was supposed to be very keen on like senses and everything. Mm-hmm. It's like it's like Virginia. Even I can tell you're lying. Like, even the most naive, trustworthy person would sit there and go, well, she's lying. So it's...
Yeah, he's like, did you... are they going to come for you? No, they don't care. They don't give a damn about what happens to me.
He's like, oh, they're looking for you. How many weapons do... Like, what do they have in weapons? He's like, oh, they have a lot of weapons. He's like, no weapons. It's like... Like, Virginia, just shh.
Yeah, just, you know, you have the option of just being quiet.
Yes. Well, he's actually about to, like, he tells, like, this is kind of, like, gives into the huntsman's story, which is just really sad and tragic, is mm-hmm. he was in the woods, and the queen came up and gave him his crossbow, and she says, like, all you have to do is just point the crossbow wherever you want, take aim and shoot, and it will not, the bolt will not stop until it has pierced the heart of a living thing. And he's like, oh, well, and he asks the queen, this is his story, like, how do I win this magical crossbow? And she says, just take aim where you want and pull the trigger. And he does so, and it kills his son, who's playing in the woods in the far distance. Mm-hmm. And then he decides to join her because
why not?
Grief does really horrible things to you. So that's his background story.
Although you could tell she's like, she's moist for him.
Yeah. He's ridiculously loyal, and she's just like, well, most loyal man I have. I was going to go like, yeah, there isn't really anybody else except for those little hangers-on and stuff. But yeah, it's just a sad story. Although when the huntsman does leave Virginia because he's about to kill her to go and like kill the guy who's trying to investigate Prince Wendell's hunting lodge, he does pull the crossbow bolt, and the guy's riding back on a horse, and I'm like, you could have hit the horse. This is like a literal 50-50.
Yeah, right?
I'm like, things could have gone really bad. And you're like, and that's like, now you, are you good at hand-to-hand combat? I'm assuming this guy like has some training. So
yeah.
Usually most lordships have some sort of like fighting training. So I'm just pointing out that like he got lucky, at least in the 50-50 realm, but whatever. So... yeah, but I do like that because, you know, there's a conversation going on between like Virginia and the bird. The little bird comes to go and find her dad and Wolf. And one of the birds also lands in just before the woodsman's done chopping up the wood. One of the little birds lands in the hat and reads the name and gives it to Tony. And
gotta share the name.
Yeah, you want me to share it?
Yes.
Juliet. A name you would never guess. So like how most people don't realize that John Wayne's name is Marion, but hey.
Yeah.
Unless you know some funny things about John Wayne. But yes. So yes, they get the axe, the wolf is freed, and man, like okay, this part kind of bugged me. Just as they're like trying to find like where Virginia is, the little bird that knows where Virginia is comes and talks to them, but man, is she like snarky? She's like, this is the last time I'm helping you. You guys really are a lot of trouble. Like, dude, you owe them a fucking life debt. Like,
yeah.
I think that you should be like their constant like bird companions at this point.
But that's one part I really liked though, because once again, Tony's just like fucking had it with this place. So he when the bird comes to him and tells him, like, oh, she's like, where is she being kept? Where does the huntsman have her? The bird starts giving him like a riddle. It's like, it is a place that's not a place, that's not like, or what, or something like that, or tree that's not a tree. And he's like, I'm done with the riddles. Just show me where she is.
It's like, you know, but you know what? It still looks like a fucking tree. Even then, like, even that riddle would never have helped, because it's like, you know what? It still looks like a goddamn tree.
like that would be fucked up if the bird just like didn't explain. Just
yeah, it's like, you'll figure it out. It's like, they're in the woods. Does he knock on every single goddamn tree?
But yeah, he the bird ends up taking them, and you know, thankfully, but I'm like, at that point I was 100% with him too. I'm just like, look, man, he just had to deal with the psychopath who was gonna chop off a wolf's head. You know, like, give him a fucking bone here. And like you were saying, like, the bird owes her a life debt, okay? So
for all the birds she frees, I think that that's a favor from each of them at this
Seriously.
Point.
Yeah, don't just like fly off and fuck off. I mean, I would be like, I think one of them talked about having a bird family out there, but like,
they should be following her along like goddamn Snow White's birds.
That's
did the
what
entire
I'm saying.
Time.
Like, look, kids, it looks like we're gonna move.
I mean, or like billing her a gown like in Cinderella. Yes. I mean, there's a lot of options here. I'm just saying, like, they owe her.
Don't be bitching because you've got to like put in so much effort to save her life, like in return. Oh man, but like. Yeah, instead the bird's like, oh, you guys are quite a lot of trouble, and this is the last time I shall help you.
Like, you were in a cage where your wings are going to be clipped and you're going to be eaten. Like, what the hell?
You were going to, like, have your wings broken and be eaten, okay? Like, don't come bitching to me.
So, yes, they do find the tree. And this is, again, where then Tony loses any sense of genius he has, because they're, got, you know, she's up in the tree. They don't know where the knot is. Virginia doesn't know where it is, which makes sense. And they can't find the secret passageway. And Tony says, wait, I have an axe. I can chop down this tree. And I'm like,
that's a great idea. See how that works out, Tony.
How's your daughter gonna feel when she's tumbling down? I mean, there's a reason why, like, when, you know, protesters climb a tree to prevent being chopped down, they don't chop down the goddamn tree, because that would be murder.
Well, and like, I don't know, it's the tree is kind of like the TARDIS, where it's much bigger on the inside.
Yeah, no, there is definitely a question mark on, you know, what's actually going on inside that tree. So yes, it's just duh.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, there's so it's, and again, like, so much stupidity happens. So of course, like, they replay because Virginia's hair is, you know, ungodly long now. So they replay the Rapunzel story, and Wolf climbs her hair. Which
and
I do like
Wolf this- said, like, I've waited my whole life to say this.
Which is like, really? This is what you've always wanted to tell a girl?
Where he says, like, Virginia, love of my life, let down your lovely locks.
Your luscious, lovely locks.
That's it.
And I just like the fact that she throws the hair down and just falls on his face. It's like, that's perfect. But man, it's like, when he's climbing, she's holding on to her hair at her scalp. I'm like, no, once again, you wrap your hand around it like a ponytail, and you create some sort of, I mean, think about the movie. I mean, granted, it didn't come out this time, but think about the movie Tangled. She had a freaking hook, and it created leverage so that it wasn't pulling on her goddamn scalp. So,
well, and that, like, it's like when you have long hair and you start off brushing your hair, you start at the bottom while you're holding it like in a ponytail with your hand, so it doesn't tug on your scalp. Same fucking thing when you're having your
stalker boyfriend.
Rescuer. yeah, fanboy. Stalker,
not quite boyfriend. Yeah, climb your hair. It's, yeah, it was like one of those things where it's like you just grab onto it and you just, you know, try to, yeah, I just, oh, man.
Yeah, she's not meant for long hair.
No, that's the thing. It's not like she had, like, super long hair, but she still had long enough hair she could put into a ponytail at one point. So I'm like, how is this a challenge? But, yeah.
why is this a problem? But she's, like, not even holding her scalp, really. She's just got her hands there. She's like, ow, ow, ow.
Yeah.
Like, damn it, Virginia. But it's probably more to keep on the wig while
yeah
somebody outside the fake window pulling on it, tugging on it.
Yeah, I know. But it's just, it was one of those moments where I was just like, oh, God, it's like nobody had long hair on this set.
Apparently.
But just as, like, you know, Wolf is climbing through the window, the huntsman comes back and a fight ensues. So, and Tony, like, at first runs and hide, and then he tries to, like, get in there with the axe, but the secret door ends up closing on his hand. So he's holding on to the axe. The huntsman doesn't grab the axe, which, Buddha, you know, unfortunate choice for him. But then the same time, like, it takes forever for, like, anybody to grab the axe out of Tony's hand, like, as a good weapon, while Wolf is fighting the huntsman. And then Virginia, like, thank God she missed, because she ends up hitting the table while Wolf is about to be stabbed. And, like, it ends up, like, you know, the huntsman ends up, like, a bear trap in his foot, and then they knock him out. And, yeah, it's just, and again, Virginia, somebody tried to kill you. Wolf is right about this. Maybe you should kill him. It's okay. Nobody would fault you if you took the axe and chopped his head off. He's a bad person who just admitted killed his son.
Yeah, and, like, he seems to be, you know, I mean, he didn't knowingly do it, but he also seems pretty fucking okay with it.
Yeah, he's not shedding tears. He's not telling it as, like, a sad story of, like, and that turned me into, like, a prisoner to the queen and stuff, or, you know, it's like, no, afterwards he kind of chose to go do this. Like, who knows where the fuck his wife was, this, or whoever conceived that child. I'm assuming she's dead, you know, but it's like, God damn. So.
She was a peep.
Oh, God, that whole fucking family.
God. Do we have to talk about that part?
Oh, we're going to. We have to. So, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. So, yeah, as I jinx. Anyways, you still don't live with a child. Anyways, yeah, and then again, another just dumb thing. So, Tony's digging up Prince, you know, because they buried him. You know, Gold Dog buried him, so, while they were hiding. And Wolf is tasked with cutting Virginia's hair. And once again, I don't know how you fuck this up so badly, but proposal, if you need a quick haircut and you're not exactly trying to do salon style level work, yeah, twist it into a ponytail and you either lay it over like a stump or a rock or some smooth place flat, and then you just kind of say, here, where the twist stops, that's where you cut. How he got the axe so goddamn close to her scalp, so she ends up with, like, a weird ass, not even pixie cut. Yeah. But it's all, like, spiky and stuff, and it's like, I'm like,
well, like, it fixes itself, like,
oh, yeah,
in
no,
the next
it does.
Scene.
Yeah.
But in that scene, it's all, like, curly in parts, so, yeah, it looks spiky.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know.
I don't... Yeah, no. But it's like, how did you get that close? It's like... Because also at the same time, it's like, if this is a magic axe and cut near things, I'd say, waste. We'll just go to waste, okay? Just keep the fucking blade away from me. Like, I will give myself some extra inches to keep that blade away from me.
And they said, like, that the one of the magical birds said that once they chop it with the axe, her the curse will be broken. So
yeah, You could chop it anywhere. Yeah.
And then you get some regular scissors, a knife, whatever, sharp object.
You visit a local barber, whatever. I mean, it's, yeah.
But if he, okay, I mean, I know that obviously it's a Hallmark miniseries, mixing fairy tales, I know. But if you're going to take it seriously, this would have meant that Wolf had to make a couple chops, like multiple chops all around her scalp. Like, he didn't get that in one swoop. Okay.
Oh, no. And that's what frightens me the most. It's just like, that axe got stupidly close multiple times to her scalp. Yeah. You know, it's not like she ended up with like a weird Akane from like Rama 1/2 cut where like it just chops up like the part that's tied up in a ponytail and she has these long areas. It's like, oh, no, no. It's like he's like, I'm going to try to even it out with the axe. It's like, stop.
Nice Rama 1/2 reference.
Yeah, you know, it was the one that came to my mind at that particular point. So, yeah, no, she's pissed. Wolf is feeling bad. It's like, no, there's levels of stupidity all around here. It's okay. And they continue on their quest. So,
yeah.
Oh, and during this time, Wolf is going through some moods.
Oh, he's going through his time of the month, apparently.
His cycles, his moon cycle, except in this case, mm-hmm. it's different for a wolf, which, okay, let's talk about something very particular about this scenario. So this happens to him once a month. Instead of how they met, it was instead the most meet cute thing on the face of the earth and everything was perfect and he was always a great gentleman. He wasn't completely awkward or all this other stuff. The fact that he turns into a killer once a month, yeah. I don't care how perfect you are, that is a major red flag, blood red flag that needs to be left. And the fact that he's like, you know, started out as a stalker, it's like, how? How the fuck? Yeah, because like his cycle is basically like, I just like the wolf part of him just like comes out in full force and his human side just cannot control it. So it's like, okay, yeah, like he could kill people once a month.
Got and it. He goes into like a fugue state, so he doesn't even remember what the hell happened.
Yeah.
So exactly. He just blacks out and he has. Like, at one point, he has her tie him up, and he keeps saying, like, no, it's got to be tighter, it's got to be tighter, 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 and, like, that's a really awkward scene, too, but, in and of itself, but when he turns all, like, full wolf, he just breaks it so easily, so
well, he even tells her, it's like, if you don't tie me tight enough, I will come on, I could kill you. After he, like, already, like, probably ate the bunny that Virginia found him to pet, which I'm just like, that was a dumb move on her part. She's like, he's like, I just need a bunny to cuddle. And it's like,
yeah, it calms me down.
Yes,
but, it's a whole play on, like, him having, like, basically going through PMS. And except, like, and he gets angry, pissy, bitchy, whatever. But he also apparently gets murderous.
Yes. And so during this time, while he's going through his time of the month, they've come across a new town where it's the family of Peeps.
Yes,
and like Bo Peep. Lil Bo Peep, although this is, the main one is Sally Peep. And she's a shepherdess. And she's
a shepherdess.
And they're all, oh yes, and they're all very flirty is the word I'm going to choose to use right here. With Wolf especially. And Wolf is kind of like going through his both his moods and also his, well, you know, parts of me are reacting here. So
yeah, she says okay, and now this was kind of a weird part because they're not supposed to know that he's a wolf. But she says, oh, you look like you can huff and puff and blow my clothes off.
Yes.
What?
I know her.
And I think she just turned 16 or 18, something like that. It was like her 16th birthday.
Yeah, it was her 16th birthday. So, yeah. I believe so. I'm trying to remember like her accent. I say today, like she, because it's like today is my birthday or something. Yeah. I can't even like name it's a that weird, accent.
Hard to place accent. Like I don't know what she was doing there.
Yeah, but it's yeah. God, her. The
you
entire
just blow my clothes off.
I know, and then like Virginia like pulls him away and everything. It's just like a. And they find like a farm stand because it like, turns out that this entire town is having like their like sounds like it's almost like contest of like during the entire week or something where it's like, you know, the best like carrots, the best like cow, the best blah blah blah. And there's a small comment about how like the judge is saying like, well, like Mrs., you know, Poole, like, you did a great job on these turnips, but I have to give it to the Peeps turnips. Look at this. And somebody makes a comment going like, ah, the Peeps always win, which is going to be really important later. So,
well, and you know, this is all because, you know, they find Acorn the Dwarf, who's just like, well, you know, I sold the...
Not in the village, earlier. They find him, and yeah, they find him early on the road, I guess would be...
Yeah, and he says that he sold the mirror to somebody in this village.
Yeah, so that's why they're in this village. It's not just to seek refuge. So they're trying to find it, and they find out that like the mirror is one of the prizes and stuff. So they're trying to find a way to just get the mirror back and trade for something else. And in the meantime, they're in a barn, and Wolf's going through his cycle and petting a bunny.
And I should say... Before we go any further, Sally Peep is played by Lucy Punch, who has been in a bunch of stuff and a bunch of stuff that like crosses over with us, I think, because one of her first parts, I guess, professional parts was as Reagan in the TV movie Cinderella.
Oh.
And that was right before the Tenth Kingdom. But she was also in, she was in a show that I love called Doc Martin. She had a recurring role on that. But she also was... she was into the woods playing Lucinda.
Oh yes, that was one of the ones that I remember looking her up for. Yeah, she's one of the stepsisters.
Yeah, and she was also in the TV series version of What We Do in the Shadows, which I freaking love. But she played Lilith, a witch. So, like, yeah, she's got a bunch of crossover with us.
Yeah. And I mean, like, it's, you know, they're, like, everybody's hamming it up. So it's not like I'm faulting her for, like, the performance or anything. Like, no, I'm sure no. Somebody, like, was like, here's what you should do. It's like, really? Okay.
Which makes me think that like I'm willing to bet that if Kimberly Williams Paisley or anybody else on the set, if they didn't know about like long hair, then I'm willing to bet that I'm willing to bet that like somebody there did know something, and they probably even said something, but I'm sure it was the directors who were like, no.
We need this to be funny, but unbelievable.
Yeah.
And not even that funny afterwards when you think about it in a different reason, a different logic.
You got to hold the wig in place, honey. No, you can't do that. Something stupid. But anyway.
Yeah, it's... Sorry. Oh, yeah. And one more thing before we get to the Peeps restaurant and everything. They run into the the half-wit, not the village idiot. He wishes he was a village idiot.
No, he wishes... No, he says that he is the village idiot.
Oh, yeah.
And Tony says that he's a complete moron, and he's like,
"Oh yeah, he's
a village. Wish!"
Yeah, his goal is... Half-wit. Yes, his goal is to guard the wishing well that has completely dried up after the three of them toss a wishing coin into the wishing well. And it's just like... And it's like, yeah, it don't work. It's been dry for years. It's like, okay. So, yeah, and later on, later on that night, Tony and Virginia try to go and talk to the guy who bought the mirror, the judge of the shop, and they're sitting there eating, like, all this food, and it's all made by the Peep family, and complimenting it. Now, when I say all this food... Dear God, was that a spread?
Yes, like what the hell?
Like, and that was just two people.
Yeah,
even that before was just Wolf showed them. Up.
That's what I was thinking. Like Wolf wasn't even there, and they're already like they've got a fucking buffet in front of them.
Yeah, and it's all for them. And even Wolf was like, "Oh, like he comes back and like is a little bit more chipper, assuming he consumed that rabbit." And she's just like, "Ah, start without me." It's like, yeah, it's there's enough there to feed a. Like family of 12 or more. It's like, my God. And yeah, so it's, and of course, like everybody's commenting about how like Wolf is hungry like a wolf. It's just like, okay, you guys are really dumb, aren't you? I'm like, I'm assuming that everybody knows that there are like wolf human hybrids in this world. And it's like, they could walk among you. Have you ever thought of that? Clearly not. So
clearly not.
Yeah, but it's yeah. And Virginia and Tony aren't able to convince the judge to sell the mirror to them and everything. And during that time, also like Wolf is. Watching these yodeling milkmaids in the bar, and that's Sally Peep like comes up and starts hardcore flirting again with Wolf, and it's just like,
I just turned 16 today.
You know what's gonna happen to me? It's like,
yeah, there are a bunch of cringy moments in this episode.
Yeah, and even, like, Virginia's, like, saving him from, like, the male peeps, like, trying to beat Wolf up is just cringy. She's like, oh, what do you do with my husband? I'm like, you could just say, like, what do you do with my friend? It's like, it doesn't have to be husband, because then he gets all, like, excited, like, oh, when you call me your husband, it was so amazing and stuff. And like,
oh, you know I have to share it.
Oh, for fuck's sakes. She gets clips, and she doesn't tell me until later, and I'm just like,
here we go.
I went all hard and soft at the same time.
When you called me your husband, I went all hard and soft at the same time. Ew.
They have medication for that.
Sounds like a problem.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, it's, and Virginia, ends up, leaving him where he is because he's getting, again, aggressive,
Oh, and I'm sorry, but on the subject of going all hard and soft at the same time, I had only two notes that I wrote down during this episode. And that was one of them, the quote, because I marked the time for me to grab it. But also, I watched this on Amazon Prime through Freevee, for free, obviously. But they have ads, and one of them is for like this. It's like a weird show that seems to be like a cross between a cooking show and The View. But it's called The Good Dish, and it has Alicia Silverstone in it. And at the end of the ad, she gives what seems to be the tagline for the show, which is the good dish is putting the D in dinner.
You see, I've been, I know what you're talking about because I've kind of seen that ad, but I just tuned it out.
Oh.
I'm glad I did. And now I hate you for now knowing that I will probably be listening for that.
Sorry. But I'm thinking like, dude, Alicia Silverstone, you're like a little older than me, but you're not like so old that you can't know what that means. Like, come on. Like, putting the D in dinner. I don't know, man. Like, I think that would be better if it was just three guys, but whatever.
I don't know. In my mind, that would be even worse. Because they could actually put the literal D in dinner, and I don't want to eat that food.
Oh, yeah. I ate the D for dinner quite a few times back in my day. Anyway.
I was going to say, although I guess it all depends on, like, you know, if it's actually, like, just on its own, or is it, like, paired with, like, spices in a pan?
God!
I mean, if you're going to literally put it into dinner, I mean, I'm assuming that it's not just on a plate while you're standing next to the table, so.
The other white meat.
It depends on which meat. I mean, it depends on where it's coming from. It may not be white. I'm just saying there are options here.
Is it sautéed? Is it baked? Does it just have some whipped cream, maybe?
I mean, Rocky Mountain oysters are one thing. We could create a whole new menu.
Oh,
anyways,
so anywho,
so we're getting back to, okay, so it's the morning and Tony has a genius idea, because the competition to win the mirror is the lovely sheep and shepherdess competition, and Tony came up with his idea when he was taking Prince for walkies.
I kind of love that.
I love it. I can't remember because, like, I think I remember years ago when my mom heard that episode, and because she overheard that, and she explained, like, there was some, like, British dog trainer who that's how she would talk to the dogs. She would take them for walkies. So it actually does have, like, a play into it. I can't remember who it was. It's, like I said, it was years ago. I remember my mom explained that joke. She's like, want to go for walkies? Oh. So, yeah, he was dragging Prince around, and that's when he discovered the Peep family secret is that the eldest Peep, Wilford Peep, diverted the magic wishing well to underneath the Peep's barn, and the secret thing that Sally gets to do, you know, on her birthday is she gets to find out the secret as to why the Peeps have all the good fortune of, you know, good planting, good sheep, good crops, good everything, and win every year is because they dip everything into the wishing well, and they show it by bringing out a pretty hairy, unshorn sheep, and they dunk it into the water, and the well talks. The well is probably like my favorite character in this entire damn thing. and they just, you know, put it into the well, and it comes out spray painted gold and beautiful and cute little sheep. And that's going to be Sally's peep for the lovely sheep and shepherdess contest tomorrow. And Wilford tells Sally that if she says anything, he'll kill her. Because, you know,
he'll slit her throat.
Yes, good. Because, you know, good grandpa. You know,
it's like the grandma from Kingdom of Glass.
I know. Yeah, that's a throne of glass. Or yeah. God damn it. Yeah, throne of glass. Yeah, same thing. I was thinking the same thing going like, yeah, but it is exactly like this is not the grandpa who, like, you know, has you sit on his knee and, like, tells you stories and stuff of, like,
this is Manon's grandma.
Yeah. if Manon had a grandpa, this would be the grandpa.
Is it have a magic well, see? You tell
I'm
anybody.
Pretty sure the man's grandma would have slit his throat first, but whatever.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Anyway,
he wouldn't last.
Yeah, so Tony has this genius idea. He gets a really ugly sheep. He's going to sneak into the barn and dip the sheep in there, which I remember seeing a, because Virginia's making her shepherdess costume, and they tell her, like, when she comes up, like, you better go get your sheep or else you're not going to qualify for the contest. And she's competing against, like, Sally Peep, another girl who's doesn't matter. And because she doesn't win. And so, and Virginia goes to get the sheep. And like I said, I remember seeing this outtake because I think that it was probably done a couple times, but her first reaction, this was the outtake, I think was the most genuine one, of she did not get to see this sheep before, you know, until this actual scene was filmed, because Tony dips it in there and it comes out looking like a peep, not like a marshmallow peep, but the color of a marshmallow peep. Like these poor sheep, like there is an animal cruelty website dedicated to these sheep, the gold one and the pink one. And Virginia's reaction, or at least the actress, Kimberly Williams' reaction, I think the first take that they cut was the genuine reaction to seeing this sheep for the first time, because she walks up in her dress, she goes, "Dad," she goes, "What the fuck is that?" Like, that's an outtake that's somewhere out there. And I was like, that was authentic. That was an authentic reaction. That was the, like, okay, we're not going to tell Kimberly Williams what this sheep's going to look like. Because, yeah, afterwards she's like, "What's that?" It's like, "It's your sheep." And it's like, uh-huh.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and during this time, while she's going to go get her sheep, they've the town has asked each of the shepherdesses to sing their favorite sheep song. And the first girl is singing "Ba Ba Black Sheep," and Virginia asks,
kind of trying to sex it up.
Yeah, she's like, "Ba Ba Black Sheep," in a very like throaty sort of whispery voice. Of course, Sally's like really just like, just she's practically humping the audience. It's but on stage. Yeah. You know, she's singing "Little Bo Peep," and Virginia's like, "Do you know any sheep songs?" And of course, like, you know, to asking Tony that, and Tony's like, "Bob," was like, "No," but she's already singing "Bob." Like, he's like, "I don't know, just put sheep lyrics, sing a song and put sheep lyrics to it." And
oh, God,
I'm surprised you didn't save this as a clip, Linda.
No, I would not do that.
Is this like, what years of therapy, like, you know, blocked from your mind, Linda? This yes. is what I was
like. This is the part I actively erased forgot from my memory.
Yes, you did.
God damn it, Jane! Why did you make me?
I warned you. I told you that this is the cringiest part in the goddamn movie. So, I love the band Queen, and I propose, unless we can come up with something better while we're recording, that the title of this episode should literally be "God Save Queen" instead of "God Save the Queen," because I love the band Queen, but so Virginia's sheep song is, "We will rock you, except with sheep lyrics.
We will shear you."
Yes.
God, dear God.
And she somehow gets, after a very awkward of her trying to saying "we will shear you" and saying "sing it," they cut to the part where the entire village is singing along with her.
Yeah, we're chanting, like all of a
chanting
sudden,
along to her, not singing. There's no singing. Like, this is not Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, all of a sudden they're chanting and they're doing like the stomp clap thing.
Yeah, they've boom, got little yeah
boom.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, wait, what?
Oh yeah.
Wait, how did this start? Like, what is?
I mean, sometimes you just have to put something to a chant and, you know, people will follow you to the ends of the earth.
That's how we'll start our club.
Yeah, sure.
Organization.
Hey, you know, yes, we can. I'm with her. Build the wall. Blood and soil. Wait. Yes, it does work. Trust me.
4 more years.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Lord. Yeah. Some of those just hurt saying, by the way.
Yeah, I feel like I need to go to the bad closet now. take a Silkwood shower or something.
Yeah. But it ends up being that, like, you know, the third girl gets 8 out of 10, so she gets third place, and the judge gives 10 out of 10 to both Sally and Virginia. And of course, Sally's a spoiled brat. She throws a fit about, like, how you know, Virginia's an outsider and how dare you not let me win and blah, blah. So they decide to do a competition where they use their sheepdogs to lure a sheep into a pen to a little obstacle course. And of course, Virginia doesn't have a dog, which doesn't exactly work. And the village idiot, it's kind of cute. Like the village, like again, after the wishing well, the village idiot's like probably one of my favorite guys. Because Tony's like seeing the thing, like, oh, goddamn, we're screwed. And the village is like, but you've got a dog. He points to like the golden statue of Prince. And Tony's like genius idea is to like, oh, if I take this to the magic well, it might turn him back to life. And
which bothered the hell out of me because like Tony goes from like sometimes like he has his moments of being smart, but they make him like a stone cold dummy for most of the mini series. And like when he first went to the well, he was saying something like, well, or, you know, he's like, oh, the magic well, and, you know, I'm going to dip the lamb in it and, you know, like get a sheep in it and get a really great looking sheep for the contest. But he doesn't think like, hey, you know, like, I can use some magic for Prince here.
Yeah,
and he's even saying like he's drunk and he's like walking around with Prince and be like, oh, buddy, I'm going to find a way to fix you. I promise. And like, it's really sweet. But at the same time, it's like, stop being such a dumbass, dude. Like,
yes.
God damn it, Tony.
Well, hey, I mean, the village idiot needed a chance to shine. So let him have his moment. I guess so. But yeah, this is what makes the well my favorite character is like Tony drags Prince back. Sally Peep is like herding her dog to bring the sheep into the pen and everything. And he's dipping in the well and he's talking to the well and I don't know if he was supposed to rhyme. The well's talking to him like, what would you like to dip in the well? And he's like, I need you to like fix this dog or turn his dog. And the well just says, oh no, not you again. And I'm like, this well is basically me right now. It's like, this well and I are kindred spirits. So it obviously ends up working because they win. Prince turns back into living after biting Tony, and they end up, you know, just winning the competition. All's good. But then because an incident happened the other night after Virginia tried to tie Wolf up where the chicken coop of the Peep family got destroyed and all the chickens were eaten. And now the worst part happens is Sally Peep throws her hissy fit and goes off. She yells at her grandpa first and says like, this is all your fault. You promised me I'd win. And she ends up getting killed and everybody thinks it's Wolf and they arrest him and are going to burn him at the stake. And this, I was sitting here thinking like I was thinking back to the Sabrina episode that you originally had stopped watching when they're the trial of Sabrina, where you were just like, that was so cringy. I'm like, I actually wrote that line down. Well, they're going through this thing. I'm like, disorder in the court. It just is like, to be fair, this is a worse case court case than the one that happened in Sabrina when it comes to how to cringe harder in any sort of case. I mean, you know, Wolf's caught and they're going to hold a trial and everything, but you know, everybody knows it's going to be like a show trial. And here's where, God, Virginia's like heartless in this. You know, it's like, you know, they got the mirror, they're going to go home, and Virginia goes to see Wolf locked up in a cage. She's like, we're going to go home. It's like, you realize you're leaving him. He's about to be killed, right? Like, she's like, don't make me feel bad. It's like, late, like, what the fuck? It's like, yeah, I know he's not like a great person and he's stalkerish, but Jesus Christ, he's also saved your life a handful of times. Like, what the fuck, man? So yeah, and this is like the one part where she was like, I'm sorry, it's just we need to go home, we don't belong here. And I'm like,
yeah, like I was thinking like, this is so fucked up. Like, he literally saved her like, what, twice now?
Yeah, and it's like so she'll let him, and this is what the thing is, like, she'll let him die.
Yeah.
But she won't kill the huntsman.
Yeah. Apparently.
Yeah, that's her that morals. That brings me to another
good question. So, you know, they've been traveling for a while, and she manages to do her makeup every day. What's up with that?
Well, I mean, you know, we always, all girls clearly carry their makeup for some.
Yeah, I mean,
unknown yeah. reason. Who knows? So
I'm just surprised she's not in her heels, but, you know, whatever. What can you do? She did, without the help of a sewing machine, create a dress out of some drapes.
So. I know. Tony's a little like a Sound of Music moment. It's like, could you believe these used to be curtains? And it's like,
yeah,
yes, yes, I can. But good job on her sewing skills, especially sewing that fast. It's like, without a sewing machine, she literally stitched together a dress out yeah. of curtains. Like, that's fairly impressive. Anyways, so yeah, it's so she goes back to her dad and she's like, so I kind of agreed to represent him in court. And her argument to her dad is like, hey, who got you all the parking tickets and everything? And Tony makes a good point. He's like, this is a murder trial. Like, what the hell? You don't even know the laws around here. So
yeah. So, but she's just like, nah, I got this. How hard can it be?
Yeah. So anyways, yeah. So she agrees to represent him. Tony is definitely right. It's, you know, it's a murder trial. So, yeah. And she has to wear traditional, barrister's uniform there. So she's got like the wig on and the robe. And man, it's her opening statement. It's so, so cringy. It's like I said, like after that opening statement, I'd ask to represent myself because it was just
seriously. It was
just so, she's like, not only will I prove his innocence, but I will reveal the murder at the end of this trial. And I'm like, in normal trials, you don't have to do that, sweetheart. You just have to prove the innocence of the person yes. you're representing.
And I'm sorry to go back, but when she's telling the imprisoned wolf that she's leaving, he's like, he's crying. He's like,
dog crying, but yeah.
So fucked up.
I know. it's all messed up. I mean, it's the entire trial is just a cringe inducing nightmare. And
so you're gonna be burned at the stake alive, but me and my dad are gonna head to New York. You get it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, no, sorry about feelings. All this.
But we gotta go.
My dad's wanted in New York, so I gotta go represent him.
I was thinking that too. I was like, why are you in such a hurry to get back to where your dad's a criminal?
And there's a whole family of people who are treating him like he's, like, you know, a master, like, which yes. creepily.
So. And he's an escaped convict now.
Yes.
So, twice over, I guess. But
yeah, it's, this entire thing is like decisions. Really, you got to think about what you're going back to right now. But yeah, it's like the entire thing is awful. Like, she tries to like pull the whole entire like, you couldn't have seen my client because you're blind, and that doesn't work because, well, and again, it's like the entire
totally blows up in her face.
Oh yeah, and the entire jury is made up of sheep, and it's two different sizes of sheep walk into, like, literal sheep. And, like, the guilty side has food, and the non-guilty side doesn't. So it's like, yeah, this is a total show trial, so it doesn't even matter. And they're about to burn Wolf, but during this entire time, Tony is trying to help, you know, because, you know, Prince is back to talking to him. And Tony's like, look, it's not that I believe Wolf, but I believe Virginia. Virginia believes him, so I want to help. And so he enlists Prince in a very roundabout, manipulative way to say, like, look, I know you don't want to help him, but, you know, you're a great prince who's skilled at hunting and you're, like, finding stuff. Maybe you can discover what happened and everything. And
oh, yeah, you can hunt down the clues.
Yes, and he is basically making him act like a dog. And
yeah, he's got him sniffing for clues.
Yeah, well, they got him back at the It's like first they're sniffing out the lovely white chalk outline of Peep's body and her shepherdess stick, which I was just like, uh-huh.
I can't remember what those are called.
I don't know, like, either.
I know there's a word for it. For like a hook.
Staff or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, anyway, so we got back to Prince, finding that the well has been destroyed, or at least it's the farm beams are down there, and it's basically covered and it's not accessible anymore. And in that pile, you find Prince finds a coat covered in blood, and that's the coat that Sally Peep's grandpa Wilford was wearing. And just as they're about to burn Wolf at the stake, Tony comes in with his surprise discovery and is like, she wasn't screaming Wolf, she was screaming Wilf, Wilf. It's like, I'm assuming not grandpa for some reason, but okay. But
yeah, because like they showed her before calling him Wilf.
Yeah, and, but in my mind, I don't know. It's like I never called like my grandpa Lyman, you know? It's like,
yeah, he's my grandpa. I had a grandpa Don, and like, I mean, I called him Grandpa Don, but I never called him like, hey, Don.
Yeah, no, it was never like just on a first name basis. So it was still like,
I think if I called him like, hey, Don, you know, I think he'd probably be like, the hell's wrong with her?
You know, it was like, pop, pop, I don't know. I mean, it's
this kid's got some balls. What the?
I mean, I know she's being murdered, but at the same time, it's like, I would think that's, you know, if you're going to name your murderer, name it something that.
Then again, I mean, as we've established, he's not the hard candy. Let me tell you a story.
Yes, well, I bow to you on my knee and play horsey and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. he's the kind that's going to threaten to cut your throat. So, I mean, like.
Yeah, you know. True. Maybe he doesn't like the term grandpa. Maybe it makes him feel old. But yeah, like they not only that, I mean, because like part of what also helps is Tony basically yells the whole village like, hey, by the way, the Peeps have diverted the wishing well water. And one of the other villagers who's not a Peep family member is like, wait a second, I actually believe this because they've gotten away with shit for way too long. So yeah, and it, you know, everybody believes him. I'm assuming grandma, at least a woman, another Peep woman, is really pissed off at Wilfred for killing Sally and starts not really beating him up, because like it looks like, I don't know what this is, the damnedest, weirdest, strangest village fight I've ever seen. Like, I'm looking at, thinking back, I'm like, it's not like anybody was like falling to the ground or like collapsing. Mm-mm. But it's just sort of like soft fist punches, like, you hurt her, brr, brr. And like everybody starts fighting with each other, but nobody's like, I don't know, collapsing, no bloody noses. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm assuming that they had torches and pitchforks, you know. And during this entire little like soft brawl, Virginia and Tony get Wolf untied and run off to the barn where they had stashed the mirror on a wagon cart that the farmer's son took the wagon cart and mirror and left with the mirror. So,
because of course.
Yep, because they have to. And yep.
And then you'd think that it would end there, but no.
Nope, we have to keep going. Because it's like a little bit more. So
there was like an hour and a half long, and it was densely packed.
Oh yeah, well, because like, you know, you've got now you've got Tony and Virginia reading and along with Prince reading the self help books that Wolf has. Wolf's read through all of them.
Yes,
and is now trying to like, you know, win the girl of his dreams or marry the girl of your dreams or whatever, mm-hmm. And yeah, they get to, was it Kissing Town or something, which is like the village of like love and all this other, you know, goopy stuff.
Yeah, and Wolf explains that it's there that the after she had the poison apple, they put the dwarves put Snow White in the glass coffin and basically put her on display there until the right man would come along and kiss the corpse and bring her back to life. And there, it was there that Prince Charming saw her and knew he had to kiss her. And blah, blah, blah.
I wonder if he was disappointed when she woke up. I mean, all
like, oh man, this isn't my kink at all. Alive.
Ugh. I mean, I think what I wrote about this town, because Wolf is also like, oh, like everybody falls in love in this town, and like it's just the town of like true love and stuff. And all I'm thinking is like, there's a lot of boning going on in this town. A lot of boning.
This is where a lot of children are born.
Conceived.
Conceived. Yeah. They are conceived, yeah. Oh.
But Wolf. Yeah, it's, yeah. So they split up to go and look for the mirror because, you know, the guy obviously sold it. And so Wolf and Virginia go and see the Snow White's coffin and everything. Now you can have your picture taken with it, you know, where a dead girl laid. Anyways.
And a weird guy with a corpse fetish.
Kissed her, yes.
Kissed her.
But I like I like the little conversation, though, that Tony and Prince are having as they're looking for the mirror. And Prince is basically like, you know, this is like one of those things where like, you know, Tony's trying to say like, hey, look, at one point I was rich, you know, I had like,
oh, yeah.
He had like this like genius idea. He had lots of money and he just says, oh, it's in plastics and everything. I just wrote down plastics. the graduate.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. And I have this like ongoing thing with Carlo where I say the future's in copper. And so he bought me a brick of copper. It's like I've secured our future.
There you go.
Oh,
so yeah, no, Tony's trying to prove himself that, you know, he's it's like he's not just completely just a, you know, washed up janitor and everything. Mm-hmm. He actually did have an idea and he, you know, had money, but it fell
poorly. Yeah.
It went poorly. Like, and to be fair, it's like, I can't even fault him for that. Cause it's like, Yeah, that's, I mean, do you want to know what the likelihood of a new business succeeding is? 90% fail in the first year. Okay.
It kind of makes me think of Stan from Golden Girls, who like ended up getting his own novelty business, like novelty toy thing where it's like joke toys.
Oh, like, yeah.
Fake dog poop type of thing.
So in his world, it wasn't as successful as Tracy Turnbull's dad with his joke shop was actually successful.
I don't get that reference.
You didn't see Hairspray?
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry.
Okay. I was like, oh my God. Okay, next musical you need to check out.
Yeah, no, I'm happy with my dog's name. One of them, Frankie Jean, because it sounds very much like a John Waters character. Frankie Jean.
I can see that. Anyway, so,
sorry.
I gotta get back because this is one like really weird part because you know, Tony finds the mirror. They want like what, like 10 gold coins for it or something. It's like a small amount. Some like fairy, an elderly ferryman like walks up and it's like, he's like, like, you know, that's an interesting piece. I would say Lake Naked Emperor and everything. I'm like, you guys have methods of tracking history. Like, I know what they're trying to say, like, it's not a Baroque period or, you know, it's a it's all these other things.
I guess just maybe like, he's going for the Emperor Has No Clothes story.
I assumed he was, but yeah, at the same time, just like, because in my mind, I'm just like, that one incident create an entire period.
Apparently. That must have been circa Lorraine Bobbitt.
That would be an interesting way of tracking history. It's like, circa Lorraine Bobbitt.
But that guy was kind of an annoying dick.
Are you talking about Lorraine Bobbitt's husband or the fairy?
Oh, well, okay, both. It can be both.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was talking about that guy. It was just like, yes, it's a priceless piece. What would you think?
Yeah, and Tony's like, it looks like an old piece of antique junk and everything and stuff. And because, I mean, obviously, like, because, you know, even like Prince is sort of like, don't turn it on in here, you dumbass. Like, yeah. Which, yeah, I mean, to be fair, it's like, yeah, the minute you discover it's a magic mirror, it's like, yeah. And which, of course, they do. So it's a magic mirror, and then it jumps up in price, like, what, 50,000 gold coins and stuff to buy?
Yeah, and I'm like, how the hell are we going to get that?
Yeah. Although here's, I mean, another part to where Tony is just goddamn oblivious, because, like, at first when he thinks it's, like, 10 gold coins, he runs to go and find Wolf and Virginia, and Wolf is about to kiss Virginia while she's lying in the corpse coffin.
Yeah, and she's okay with it, it seems, because they're under the influence of...
of the love kissing town thing.
Kissing town.
Yeah, and Tony goes, he's like, hey, guys, stop playing around. I found the mirror. It's like, Tony, I want you to pause and look at this image for a second here. You know, yeah. So, but nope, he is oblivious as shit. But then they get back, finds the 50,000 gold coins. And also at the same time, the huntsman's arrived at the village. He's not doing anything. He's just kind of watching. And yeah. There it is. That is actually the end of the episode.
Yeah, and the huntsman, this is like after he, I guess he's gone after them. And
track them. He's supposed to be a good tracker, you know.
And he found one of the self-help books.
Yeah, oh yeah, because that's like how he's tracking. He just like looks at it, he's like, what was it called, like, How to Marry the Girl of Your Dreams or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, okay. I'm just imagining, like, every so often, it's like, I think he's a horrible person, but I also feel like he's would also be somebody who would break the fourth wall of, like, the fuck is all this shit? Yeah. Like, he doesn't care about, like, anything from another world, but he's just like, what the fuck is going on at this, like, whole entire thing? It's like, why are they so hard to catch?
I'd also kind of like to see him reading one of the books and be like, oh.
Dealing with grief.
Yeah, in a healthy way. I've learned something about myself today. Thank you so much for sparing my life. You've changed my life as well. I now know how to accept love and be love.
How to take charge of your boss.
Oh, if only.
Yeah, nope, not gonna happen. But yeah, it's, and that's kind of, like I said, that's where we leave the episode, because now the mirror is expensive as hell. I also, again, know what's coming up, and it's, yep, it just, but we got past the cringiest part. That's all I'm going to say. We got, that is the cringiest part. I mean, there's going to be more cringe.
Yay!
But this is stuff that, like, I don't feel like that secondhand embarrassment watching. Just like, when I'm like,
oh, yeah. That is real. Like, yeah. It is a phenomenon. Like, that made me cringe so goddamn hard. And I was just like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this to myself? Don't I deserve better?
When you thought about doing this podcast, did you ever think that this is where we would be?
Well, to be, devil's advocate against myself, I did plan for Teen Witch, so I mean...
I know, I was gonna say, to be fair, you also tortured me with Teen Witch. I knew it was coming up here, so I still, secondhand embarrassment, I still prepared myself. And also, you still owe me Vampire Diaries, followed by the originals. Christ. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. And you know what? You're gonna end up loving it.
I feel like this is a prison of my own making.
Oh, yeah. But just like Sabrina... you couldn't stand it, and then after a while, you felt you actually enjoyed it. And trust me, Vampire Diaries is going to do that to you. It's going to.
I am
to you,
glad Lena. That I gave you had me give Sabrina another chance, because it is good.
Yeah, and then the fourth season happens, and I don't want to talk about that until we actually watch it. So, but that's a different story. That's different altogether. We're not going to talk about that.
Not yet. Yeah, this was a hell of an episode, and we made it through somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, as I said, I don't think we came with a better title than what I thought, which was God Save Queen. So
yeah. I would like to apologize to Queen.
To the band, the estate of Freddie Mercury. Yeah,
the ghost we like to apologize of Freddie Mercury.
On behalf of this series to the band Queen.
On behalf of this nation. Oh, I guess this is the time where I say, please, please, please help us out by listening, subscribing, rating, and reviewing Bedknobs and Broomflicks on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, and all other podcast platforms. Remember, you can find Bedknobs and Broomflicks on Facebook and on Twitter at Broomflicks. And you could write to us at broomflicks@gmail.com. Remember, that's B-R-O-O-M-F-L-I-C-K-S. We got the licks at the end, which... you know, I was supposed to make some sort of joke there, but I'm too tired. Also, check out our show at bednubsandbroomflicks.com. There you can also find out about Videorama and Cage's Kiss. And if it the spelling is funky, I do acknowledge that. So you could always find it at cageskiss.com. That'll take you to our landing page. And last but not least, if you would like to help support us and a local bookstore while purchasing a book or a movie, please purchase through our affiliate page at bookshop.org/shop/Broomflicks. And I just added a couple books on there. I'm currently reading a book by one of my favorite authors, Kevin Hearn, and it's Ink and Sigil. Took me a while to get there, but it's been making me laugh so goddamn hard, and I cannot recommend it enough. And I would like to have one of his book series, at least one of his book series, covered in this show in the future. But anyway, you could find me, I guess... my agenda is currently chopping wood and chop wood and carry water. Jane, where can the people find you?
Well, you can find me basically down on all fours trying to birth a life out of me at some point soon. So
I don't know why I got a visual of a rainbow.
I'm not birthing a rainbow, but yes. No, it's birthing classes are fun, by the way, even if they're done on video and online. Some of the ideas people have proposed are very interesting. I'm just like, I'll do whatever I can do so I can keep on standing. Although you can also find me mocking my boss for not taking care of his health. So that's also a true story.
Woof.
I still have a job.
Yay for that.
I know.
Oh, I'd like to thank Doug Walters and Redwire Blackwire for allowing us to use their song Compass.
And join us next time. We'll be continuing with 10th Kingdom. This is the fourth of fifth episode, four or five episodes. So this will be the fourth one. And yeah, like I said, we all made it past the cringiest part. We survived.
Yay!
You know, now it's just little minor cringy parts. There's some parts that I actually are coming up that I remember enjoying a lot. And yeah, it's there's going to be some trips down memory lane here of, at one point, really famous actresses who I had to sit there and go, where have they gone? So this will be fun.
And when we do cover that, we'll be putting the knob in podcasting. Until then, what's that got to do with my knob?
This knob doesn't need saving. Just Queen needs saving. That's all I'm going to say. I have nothing to say about the knob. The knob's fine.
We're putting it in dinner.
Oh. Putting the K in cooking? Like, I didn't think right now. I'm like, wait. By the way, people know I'm not an idiot. I know cooking starts with a C. I just can't think of any cooking related or, you know, kitchen related. Oh, we put the K in kitchen. Duh. Oh God. Now I feel like an idiot. We put the K in kitchen. Dun, 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 dun.